Well, the speakers were all on subjects that we would ask at one of the meetings. I think we did it once or twice a year. Who would you all like, what topics would you like to have covered? Or is there a particular speaker you'd like to have? And we would draw up a vast list and then sort of weed it through. And there would be one or two or maybe three women on the committee who would be in charge of getting speakers. We had some individual speakers who were women we were just interested in, because there weren't that many women who were very high up. Somebody did ask Marion Boyers to speak. Stephanie Dowrick, who had started the Women's Press, she was one of the speakers. Lisa Pagnonese, Carmen Khalil, who had set up Virago, Valerie Grove and Miriam Gross, who were reviewers. So they were newspaper journalists dealing with the book trade. And of course, this is still a point, a sore point. If you look at book reviews, the number of books by women is tiny. There's a kind of discrimination in whom the literary editor is asked to have reviewed. Probably not intentional, but they are there. There's a specific one, Dale Spender, talking about man-made language, which is a very good book she wrote, about how the language is skewed so that we forget to think about where the women are. We had Margaret Drabble, Anna Coote, Sarah Maitland, had a speaker on how to sell rights. I think I did that myself. A lot of the committee people would volunteer if we needed something on one of our subjects. There was a speaker on sexism in children's books. There's one on freelancing. There was also, and these were important, one on repping, and also one we had a couple of accounts sessions. Repping was important, and this wasn't me, but it's something that I think I probably suggested, because when I was at Pittman, where all of a sudden I was the only woman on a board of 10, I think, and all the others were these Oxbridge men running the book departments, anytime I suggested a book, the sales reps who would sit in on the meetings would say, "That'll never sell. They won't go for that in Barnsley." It was one of their phrases. "They won't go for that in Barnsley." Barnsley was the litmus test somehow, because they had been on the road and they knew what was what. And after a few months, I began to regret the fact that I had never gone on the road and tried to sell. And I began to realize it was very important. And an awful lot of men in publishing started that way as reps. So I never did go on the road, and I regretted it because I couldn't counter what the sales reps said. And to this day, I wish I had gone on the road for a while. So I'm probably the one who said we really need to have some reps. And I think, I'm not sure if we managed to find a woman rep. I think we did. There were very few of them to talk about what it was like, because sales was an area we just didn't learn about. It was kind of beyond us. We would see charts at editorial meetings and people would say things, but nobody could ever counter it because we didn't understand it. And accounts was, of course, the other great gray area. And I see that almost the first organized thing that women in publishing did in terms of training was to hold sessions on accounts, how to read balance sheets, how to account for things. Because if they were going to go out of just editorial roles into more managerial ones, including being head of an editorial department, you need to know how to do the accounts. You need to be able to understand the balance sheets. And you don't learn that just from editing. And none of us were taught it.